morning. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 19. And while you're looking for that, Acts 19, I want to thank all the people from YouTube, especially the ones that are helping us. This is a viewer-supported ministry, and we really need your help. This is the end times, and we've got a short window to say these things. And some of us are studying what's coming, and we have to. Freedom of speech is definitely being under attack and censored. So we're at this point, it's going to all different countries, and we want to thank you that are helping. I see who you are, and I just want to thank you so much. And while you're looking to Acts chapter 19, today I felt like I wanted to share something, being that it's coming into Halloween. And I wanted to alert parents and grandparents. Sometimes the kids are blinded and they are clueless because of what's coming on television, their games, their iPads. This generation is being bombarded like no other generation ever has. And as parents, we have to stand up. And so many parents are sleeping in this hour of what's going on. And I just want to alert you today. And we're going to see in Acts chapter 19, first of all, this is not new, that the things and the struggles that we have been other gods, other spirits all along since the beginning. But at the close of the age, and as the end times grow darker and darker, because there is an Antichrist coming, and we have to know that the world is being prepared for that. And Satan knows his time is short, so he's going to try harder and harder. So we have to be aware. And when you are aware of it, you can guard yourself. You can guard your children, your grandchildren. And sometimes they don't want to listen. So what we do is we plant seeds where we can and believe that they'll grow. But no, there's some things we're not going to be able to change, because the Bible says these things have to be. So when you're aware of what's coming, it gives you a peace to know God is in control. He told us these things. So don't be alarmed. Don't be fearful. Be aware, and that's why the Bible tells us, awake, ye sleeper, wake up, and we are trying to wake people up. Now, here in Acts chapter 19, we see that this, first of all, is not new, the battle between light and darkness. And let's start at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, that's the wandering Jews, exorcists. Now, exorcism, the first time I ever remember hearing that word when I was growing up was a movie called The Exorcist, and I did not go. I do not like scary movies. I don't like to be scared. I stay away from all of that, but I remember people telling me about Rosemary's Baby back in the day, and all these, some of you guys go back there, it's like all these things, being planted in our minds. But here's the exorcist. Now, this is not new. What is an exorcist? We're going to talk about what an exorcist. They're practicing magic among the heathens. So they took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, and the chief of the priests, who did also. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was, are there evil spirits in people? Absolutely. The evil spirit was in the man. What he said, he leaped on them and he overcame them. And what happened? And he prevailed against them so that they fled out of their house naked and wounded. So here we see a display of demonic power. And this is what I want you to see and know. First of all, we don't play with witchcraft, because witchcraft is real. And now we have something called entertainment. Everything is entertainment. It's on television. It's in games. So basically it's harmless, wrong. And this is why I think these scriptures are in the Bible, to let us know we do not play around with evil spirits or the demonic realm. Because here, these exorcists, what did they do? They made a living. This is what they would do. They'd go out and they would exorcise and get demons out. But here, they weren't saved. And so they thought, well, Jesus is casting out spirits. He's kind of getting popular. Paul's casting out spirits. I'm going to try it in the name of Jesus, thinking it was a charm or a spell that he could add to his other charms and spells, make a living, make money. And he was in for a little bit of a surprise. These guys ended up wounded and naked running around. But that was also a huge testimony to Ephesus, because they knew it was demonic and they saw that these exorcists couldn't get the demons out. In fact, they got attacked. And what happened as a result of this display, this experience, this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Why? Because they tried to do it and they didn't have a relationship with God. They tried to use this as a magic spell, and what happened? Bad things happened to them. And so what happened? More people got saved as a result, because it was definitely heavily occultic in that area. So God's always greater. Don't ever think the devil's greater, even though sometimes we see everything now, evil and Lucifer and movies with all this evil coming out. You know that God is greater than the enemy, right? But there is a time. The enemy is a god of this world, and we get to choose whose side we want to be on. And many that believed, what? They came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts. In other words, magic, charms, the occult, they were using these magic arts. What did they do? They brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Verse 20, what happened? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So here we see an encounter between good and evil, and these exorcists trying to pull one over, and ended up, a lot of people got saved. But what did they do? They got rid of those books. And I encourage all of you, if you've got these kind of books after what I share on today, get rid of them. Do not allow them in your house, okay? So again, the exorcists, they were practicing magic among the heathen by whom Paul preached, not by whom we believed in or depended on. They did not have a personal relationship, but they were doing it in the name of Jesus and in the name of Paul that they preach. You understand? Trying what that name will do, like a spell or a charm. The reason they attempted is, number one, Jesus had expelled many evil spirits. They saw this happening. They were getting competition. And number two, in that name, Paul had performed miracles. And so they thought some charm was in that name. They were vagabond Jews. What is that? That's wandering Jews. They wandered up and down, making it their trade and their livelihood. They imitated. Here you see what happens when Satan tries to cast out Satan. You see quite a display, don't we? The demonic is real. And I want to encourage all of you, don't play with it. In Deuteronomy 18, let's look there. Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12. And there's a reason why I'm going here today. Verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. All these nations served other gods. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. We've talked a lot about necromancy in the last few months. Preachers now saying that they can talk to the dead. God's against talking to the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive thee out from before thee. This is very, very important. God says he doesn't want witches, witchcraft, and any of that stuff in our midst. We're not supposed to be playing with it, okay? Now, I'm going to read you a letter. I'll give you that for now. And you can find this article online, but it's an ex-witch. And I like people that have come out of things. because they tell you what they know. Like with me, I've come out of certain movements and I'm telling you what I've learned. We went through my doctorates and masters and all this, I'd say dung. Now I call it dung. And I had all this, it's like 40 some years of my life. And I looked at all the books I had to record, every book I read, I had to record all the preachers, all the conventions I'd been to, it was just unbelievable about the homework that I had. And I could take a match to it. I was so embarrassed because I've learned a lot of these preachers now, what their roots are. And this takes time. And the hardest people I have to deal with are some of these Christians that think they know it all and they just fight you. It's because we've been brainwashed. And this is all by design. You have to study to show yourself approved. But I like people that come out of things. They come out of Mormonism. What do? They expose it. They come out of different movements. What do? They say, this didn't work, right? Well, this was a witch. She was an ex-witch. Now she's born again. And she started seeing the craze of witchcraft through the Harry Potter books. Okay, now I say that because this Halloween, I know there's going to be a lot of Christians that are going to decorate themselves up into little Harry Potter stuff, thinking it's totally innocent, it's totally fun, and it's a fantasy. And she says in this letter, and I'm going to take time to read this because I think it's very important, coming from someone that has been delivered out of it, that we need to be careful and to be warned of. So she exposes the Harry Potter series, What You Do Not Know. Okay, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I am going to read enough. This is what I want to share today, because then we're going to go into one more thing. But she said, in today's generation, everyone is taught that entertainment is harmless and it's fun. Mm-hmm. We have actually been conditioned to say it's just television, or I like to say, it's just a game. It's just a game. We're learning about murder and killing everybody, but it's just a game. But as you are about to find out, entertainment can serve a greater purpose than just entertaining. And I shared with you about the whole purpose of the New World Order. One is to make it acceptable to the public. And the second thing is for its real purpose, to push an agenda. Okay, so there is an agenda being pushed. And I say that because it's being pushed in our schools. It's being pushed all around us. And it's not going away. You need to know that. The letter you're about to read was written by an ex-witch who was later saved from the world of darkness by the blood of Jesus. Here's her, it starts. She says, I'm writing this urgent message because I was once a witch. I lived by the stars as an astrologer and numerologist, casting horoscopes and spells. I lived in the mysterious and shadowy realm of the occult. By means of spells and magic, I was able to invoke the powers of the controlling unknown and fly upon the night winds transcending the astral plane. Halloween was my favorite time of year. It always is for the occultists. Halloween is a very demonic holiday, and sadly, many people have been deceived thinking it's just fantasy and fun. Halloween was my favorite time of the year, and I was intrigued and absorbed into the realm of Wiccan witchcraft. All of this was happening in the decade of the 60s, when witchcraft was just starting to come out of the broom closet. Then she starts talking about, and I'm skipping around, J.K. Rowling, the author who has captivated the world by her 7 books. I believe there's 7. And I heard there's more coming, I don't know, through what is known as the Harry Potter series. These books are orientational and instructional manuals of witchcraft disguised as entertainment. These books teach witchcraft. I know this because I was once very much a part of that world. Witchcraft was very different in the 60s. There were a lot fewer witches. And the craft, they call it the craft, was far more secretive. And I want to tell you now, guess what? It's in plain sight. It's in plain sight. They're no longer hiding a lot of these things. It's in plain sight. I was miraculously saved by the power of Jesus Christ. And this is what I want to tell you. Even when people are in witchcraft, they can still get saved. Even when people are in all this stuff, just think the power of God is greater. She was in heavy deception. Pray for your children, pray for your grandchildren, because Something happens. Sometimes a crisis in life will happen, and they have to face reality. And guess what? They get saved. So that's kind of what happened to us, didn't it? Something happened. We just thought, this isn't working. I really need to get saved. So thank God for the power of the gospel. I was miraculously saved by the power of Jesus Christ and his saving blood. I was also delivered from every evil spirit that lived in me. These people are possessed with demons, and the higher they go, the more they invite them in so they can travel and they can have spirit guides and they can do powers. And it's a power thing. They want power. Remember, we talked last couple of weeks, the path to power, turning your soul over to Satan. Well, we turned our soul over to the Lord. However, as I began to attend fundamental churches after she got saved, and this is what I want you to see coming from somebody that has come out of this. She's trying to find a church. And guess what? She goes to these churches and she sees witchcraft in the churches. Fundamental, conservative churches. I began to attend these churches and I realized that even there was witchcraft. It had left its mark. Pagan holidays were celebrated as Christian holidays. As time went on, I watched the so-called Christian churches compromising and unifying. Have we been talking about this? They're unifying. Doesn't matter which God you believe, we all believe the same things. All paths lead to God is what they're saying. I also watched with amazement as teachings from the Eastern religion and New Age doctrine began to captivate congregations. We're seeing that now. Holy yoga classes? Really? Seriously? There is no such thing as a holy yoga. This is Hinduism. If you want to stretch, stretch, but don't call it yoga. It was a satanic setup, and she saw it coming. Illuministic conspirators were bringing forth a one-world religion with a cleverly concealed element. And this is what I've been trying to talk to you about. Cleverly concealed element of what? Occultism, woven in its teachings. In order to succeed in bringing witchcraft to the world, and thus complete satanic control, an entire generation would have to be induced and taught to think like witches, to talk like witches, to dress like witches, and to act like witches. Now this brings back to what? Alice Bailey, we're going to captivate the young. We're going for the young. The occult song of the 60s launched the Luciferian project of capturing the minds of an entire generation. In the song, Song of Silence, by Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, that was a wonderful name, we were told of seeds that were left while an entire generation was what? Sleeping. And that the vision was planted in my brain still remains. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again. And the people bowed and prayed, he says, to the neon god they made. Kind of brings you back to the Old Testament. All these words and stuff are in these songs. We just sing it. Oh, hello, darkness, my old friend. We don't even think about it. All of the foundation for occultism and witchcraft are now in place. It was the communistic revolutionary Lenin who said, "Give me one generation of youth and I will transform the entire world." Now an entire generation of youth have been given over to a woman, J.K. Rowling, and her books on witchcraft known as the Harry Potter series. As a former witch, I can speak with authority when I say that I have examined the works of these books, and these are training manuals for the occult. Untold millions of young people are being taught to think, speak, dress, and act like witches by filling their heads with the contents of these books. Children are obsessed with the Harry Potter books that have left television and video games to read these witchcraft manuals. In the first book of the series entitled Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, finds the orphan Harry Potter embarking into a new realm where he is taken to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. At this occult school, Harry Potter learns how to obtain and use witchcraft equipment. And she goes on a bunch of these names, all of which are names of real demons. These are not fiction characters. How serious is this? She said. By reading these materials, many young are learning how to work with demon spirits. They're getting to know them by name. Vast numbers of children professing to be Christians are also filling their hearts and minds while ignorant parents look the other way and actually buy them for them. The titles of the book should be warning enough to make us realize how satanic and anti-Christ these books are. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone was a giveaway. Nothing could be more obvious to me than that Harry Potter books are pure witchcraft. As a real witch, I learned about the two sides of the Force. Real witches meet in a coven. They greet each other by saying, "Blessed be." And when they part, they say, "The Force be with you." Both sides of the Force are Satan. There is not a good side of the Force that overcomes the bad side of the Force, but it's rather the blood of Jesus that destroys both sides of the satanic force. Kind of Star Wars comes to mind, doesn't it? High-level witches. Now remember, there's levels, there's layers, there's innocence of everything, and then they go higher. High-level witches believe that there are seven satanic princes. Remember, we fight against principalities and powers of the air. But they believe there are seven satanic princes, and the seventh, now listen to this, the seventh one, the highest one, guess who they're assigned to? Christians. The seventh one, which is assigned to Christians, it has no name. In coven meetings, he's called the Nameless One. In the Harry Potter books, there is a character called Voldemort. The pronunciation guide says of this being, "He who must not be named." What does God have to say about such books? And then we just read this about Acts. We need to get rid of these books. Get rid of them if they're in your home. People that I know have nightmares. They don't know where these nightmares came from. Shut the door to the occult. They've watched these videos and all this, and they're scared. They have a spirit of fear on them. You need to take authority over it by shutting the door and repenting and asking God to forgive you for allowing, as a parent, for you not being a gatekeeper in your house by allowing this stuff in and not warning. It doesn't matter what these kids want. When they're under our protection, I mean, there were times I had fights with my oldest son. He wanted to bring in bad music, and I took them all. He said, "They're not mine. I don't care who they are," but they got destroyed because I was like, this is everything I'm preaching against, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite and preach one thing and have you be doing something else behind my back. And did it make me real popular with him? No, but I'm glad I stood my ground. Okay, so what are the kids saying about Harry Potter? Okay, this is a quote. A lot of these are quotes. I'm only going to give you a couple. "I want to go to wizard school and learn magic. I'd like to learn to use a wand to cast spells," Dylan, who's age 10. "It would be great to be a wizard because you can control situations and control your teachers," Jeffrey, age 11. "I feel like I'm inside Harry Potter's world. If I went to wizard school, I'd study everything, spells, counter spells, and defense against the dark arts," Carolyn, age 10. "I like it when the bad guys killed the unicorn and Voldemort drank his blood." This is Julie, age 13. Now, I want to stop here for just a second. Have you noticed, because I have a granddaughter and I go shopping for her, have you noticed the unicorns are out? Do you know anything about a unicorn? Looks so cute, doesn't it? A unicorn symbolism, the symbol of the most magical of all animals, unicorns can shift between the visible world and the invisible world as the powers are magical and mystical. The unicorns symbolize magic. Now, out of this book, and I'm just going to give you the phone number. It's called Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated by Dr. Kathy Burns. And I want you to give you the phone number. We ordered some of these last year. And I'm going to give you the phone number. Hope it still works. We tried to call this morning, but they were closed. 1-800-234-9673. I pull this book out seasonal, not all the time, but now that I'm seeing a lot of these new movies that are coming out with the symbols, it's eye-opening to see the so-called Christians that are that have these symbols on their stages and in their books and in their music and stages and all this stuff. And on the TV shows, we know a lot about the symbol of the triangle, but there's a whole lot more. And I just recommend you get this book and just, you know, as the Lord leads you. I'm seeing this on a lot of Christians' stages right now. But what she says about the unicorn is the unicorn is a mythological creature. In astrology, the unicorn represents the moon and is also a symbol of rebirth or reincarnation. The unicorn is yet another androgyny symbol. What is that? Man and women. They're really big. Their religion is. That's why this transgender movement is huge. Half man and half women. That's their religion. It means male and female. The androgynous unicorn has been merely a foreshadowing of the unisex mentality exhibited in modern art and music as well as in the general acceptance of the homosexual and lesbian lifestyles. Unicorn is considered by the New Agers as the symbol of innocence and gentleness. According to the New Age teaching, the world is about to enter into the second golden age. The Golden Age, or the New Age, is also known as the Age of Aquarius, an era of peace and brotherly love. Thus we see that the unicorn is, in reality, the symbol of a future conqueror who will bring in peace to the world. Who is this but the Antichrist, the little horn that rises up in the midst of the ten horns in Daniel, in Daniel's vision, Daniel 7, for whom the world waits, unaware of his true nature. The horn growing out of the unicorn's head represents the third eye, or the all-seeing eye. Yeah, you might want to see if you really want your grandkids to run around as unicorns. So I liked it when Julie, who's age 13, when the bad guys killed the unicorn and Voldemort drank its blood. On the video called Harry Potter, Witchcraft Repackaged, Making Evil Look Innocent, author Robert S. McGee explains, children as young as kindergarten are being introduced to human sacrifice, the sucking of blood from dead animals, and possession by spirit beings, all in the name of entertainment and fun and fantasy. Courts have banned the teaching of Christianity in public schools. But Wicca, which is recognized by the U.S. courts as a religion and given tax-exempt status by the IRS, is taught freely. Did you get that? No Christianity, but witchcraft is allowed. Harry Potter has become the method of introduction to Wicca of the very young. The materials have become much more than a handful of children's fantasy books. Warner Brothers, Coca-Cola, Minute Maid, Mattel have all used the Potter materials to what? Launch games, puzzles, toys, backpacks, and every possible merchandising product. Scholastic Incorporated, a major supplier of public school teaching aids, has added the Harry Potter literature to the line of curriculum materials. And they talk in there about how the parents were never advised. This was passed secretly. Once introduced to the world of wizards, spells, the dark arts, readers of Harry Potter can advance their knowledge and skills in witchcraft and paganism by visiting the hundreds of websites available on the internet. But is it just fantasy literature like Snow White and Cinderella? The Harry Potter video cult expert, and I like her, Carol Matriciana. She's passed away now, but get any of her books. She was from India, and she got saved, but she was into She explains a lot about yoga, how it's really a preparation for death, and it's also every pose is a worship to gods, and how this is coming in. And she was warning people while she was alive, and her books are still there. And she's got YouTubes as well, Carol Matriciana. She points out that in the older stories, like in Cinderella, the good always won. You know, Cinderella ended up going to the ball. It was funny because in back in my play, you know, I used to do plays and acting, and I was Cinderella's wicked stepmother. I was in ninth grade, and I remember it was so much fun to play the evil part, you know. But in real life, it's very sad. But Cinderella got to go to the ball and boo-hoo on her bad sisters and her stepmother. But now today, it's different. These stories, the evil wins. If you did Cinderella now modern, the stepsisters would win, and so would the wicked stepmother. So here's her point. There are no absolutes in this world. What is right depends on the situation. So you're reading these books, and if you want to put a spell on somebody because you dislike them, or you're jealous that they took your boyfriend away, no problem. See how this is teaching bad things into the heads of people that read it? Witchcraft now has a complete package. Starting in the kindergarten with Harry Potter and TV witch shows, children are led on to the horror movies and hundreds of Wicca and pagan websites. When they thirst for more power, high school and college Wicca covens are available. In the adult world, we have more things going on with New Age, going on and on. The bottom line is hunger for power. Harry Potter and the rest of witchcraft promises that power. Harry Potter provides a basic initiation into witchcraft for a whole new generation. Harry Potter, witchcraft repackaged, making evil look innocent. What does the Bible say? Beware when they call evil good. It's making evil look good in plain sight, right through our eyes. Millions of American school children have a new subject in school, witchcraft repackaged as children's fantasy literature. Children are being desensitized to the dangers of the occult. And I want to say so are parents, because most of the parents are reading this right along with them. What does Deuteronomy 18 say? He says, don't follow the gods of other nations. Don't let there be witchcraft among you, right? And lastly, Harry Potter books are about a young 11-year-old generational wizard. Harry Potter, who attends the prestigious 1,000-year-old occult boarding school, Hogarth School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. All of his teachers are practicing occultists. Their tutor, their students in the dark arts of sorcery and divination, fortune telling, astrology, potion mixing, spell weaving, and curse casting. Harry's world says that drinking dead animals' blood gives power. A satanic human sacrifice in Harry's powerful blood brings new life. Demon possession is not spiritually dangerous, and that passing through the fire, contacting the dead, and conversing with ghosts, others in the spirit world, and more is normal and acceptable. And the sad thing is the parents agree. Yeah, this is just fun. Let's get the next book that comes out. Let's see. And she said, I don't want to give it away, but every book will get darker. We're not supposed to follow Hello Darkness, my old friend. We're supposed to follow the light, right? In closing, I want to just say this scripture. There shall not be found among you, Deuteronomy 18, anyone that maketh his sons or his daughters pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, charmer, consulting with familiar spirits, a wizard or a necromancer. We are not to follow these gods. Amen? Amen? And I'm just saying this. I felt like I wanted to take this whole YouTube to warn parents that this is a agenda that's being pushed. It's being promoted by all the high people of different companies, and you're going to movies and all this and that. And yeah, we're standing alone. And one other thing I did want to mention, I got censored from this last time, but I'm going to say it again. The Passion Bible was delivered by a publishing company called The Broad Street. They use different, we're supposed to be following a narrow way. Hello? The Broad Street, and it was brought out into the public, guess what day? October 31st, Halloween. And if you want to go study that out, just look up The Passion Bible Exposed. And guess what? This is being promoted by many, many churches right now. It's the New Apostolic Reformation Bible. They say it's the heart language of love. And I've been teaching you about how they're little by little changing our Bibles, changing key words. But I thought that was very interesting that the Broad Street, and I get phone calls and emails on this, so I just wanted to put it in this video again. Be careful of the Bibles that you read. Amen. Because they are changing them, taking out certain words to make certain sins look not so bad. But, you know, we do the best to try to keep it in the original form. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that parents and grandparents would wake up and even alarm and awaken their sons and daughters that are allowing this in their kids' homes. Their bedrooms are filled with these things, thinking it's absolutely harmless. But I pray they would listen to the words of a former witch that saw the evil of it and sees what's coming and sees that they're trying to overtake a whole generation. It started with some of these Harry Potter books, but now as we look through the television, a new series coming up I saw, it's called Evil. A couple years ago, it was Lucifer, and they're making Lucifer appear as an angel of light. All these things seem like they're just fun, and why are you such an old fuddy-dud? You don't want us to have fun. No, it's because God doesn't want us to have these spirits enter. He doesn't want us to be harassed by nightmares and spirits of fear, and he doesn't want an open door for people to go further into realms of darkness. And that's why you've given us boundaries and borders in your word, what to do and what not to do, that there shouldn't be a witch among us, that we shouldn't be practicing these things. So, Father, we thank you for the testimony of this woman that had enough courage to put this out and to warn people. And I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what she's saying and what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to our church and our churches. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen.
We just want to share a quick message with our YouTube audience. First, we want to thank you for being here. If you have found our messages helpful, we would ask you to please click like and share these messages on your social media to help get the truth out. We also just want to introduce that we're a small fellowship of believers here that want to bring people back to the truth of God's word and follow the real Jesus. We do life together, and we see you as our extended church family, and we would love to be able to do life with you too. We would invite you to connect with us on our private Facebook group. You can find a link for that below in the description, or you can search for us on Facebook by looking for LIHPC Online Church Fellowship. Please find us there and send us a message that you'd like to become a member, and we look forward to connecting with you. Many of you have taken time to write letters or send emails. We find that a great encouragement and a blessing, and we thank you. We really look forward to getting to know you better online as well. Lastly, if you see us as part of your church family and you would like to support our ministry, we have a link below in the description that you can click to donate to our ministry. You'll also find a link for that on our private Facebook group. Or you can go to our church website, which is livinginhispresence.org, and click Give up at the top. We appreciate your support and donations, and we just thank you very much for being here and being a part of our church family.
You are the fire that burns.